Happy Mother's Day. Thank you. Thank you. All you beautiful moms, I'm so glad to see you today, and as well as the rest of the family, because you know, any of you that have been here for very long, you know that when I speak on Mother's Day, I don't just speak to the moms, I speak to the whole family. So this is for the whole family. This is for all of you. And I'm speaking today on the moral compass. And this is a message that we don't hear much anymore. There's just so much coming at us today. So many voices, so many different messages, so much of the world has crept in to the church. And that's why we need revival. That is why the church needs revival and our nation needs revival. We need a great awakening in this nation. Amen. So there is a moral compass that should guide our lives. And this compass is the Bible. You're not surprised at that, are you? I think you already knew that. This compass is the Bible. A useful way to think about your moral compass is to think of it like an ordinary compass with true north representing integrity, south, forgiveness, east, compassion, and west, responsibility. These four principles are honored in some form by people of all races and religions, regardless of gender. It's for everybody. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've lived. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter. It's the same for everyone. That's right. This is the compass that should guide our lives. And mothers, you are the moral compass in the home. Did you know that? I think there's a lot of mothers that don't realize that. You are the moral compass in the home. You set the standards. You set the tone. It is our responsibility as mothers and grandmothers to teach and guide our children and grandchildren morally. Teach them about the Bible and what it says about the moral issues. Immorality is thrown at them every day. Everywhere they look, everywhere they go, think about it, immorality. It is around them constantly, constantly, every day. It is imperative that we know the truth of God's word, and we are teaching the children the ways of God. We must teach our children the ways of God. How else will they know? How else will they hear? That's why it's important for children to be raised in the church, to get that foundation. But it's not just the church. Think about it. The church, they're at church for 1 or 2 hours a week, basically. And then look at all the rest of the hours in the week. What influences are they having in their lives? What is influencing them all the rest of the week? They're only at church a small portion. So do we push morality and the truths of God's word at our children and ourselves for that matter as much as immorality and the ways of the world are being pushed at them? We need to think about it. We need to think about how much immorality is all around them. How much morality are they hearing? How much of the truths of God's word are they hearing? How much of an influence is it in their lives compared to the ungodly, worldly influence? Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 says, "Listen, O Israel, and I say, listen, America. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road and when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. That means pretty much all the time. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. These days we have sticky notes and we can just put sticky notes everywhere for our kids to see and grandkids to see. Pastor Corey's big on sticky notes. He likes to use lots of sticky notes. But we need to put it before them. And if you have to use sticky notes all over the house, use sticky notes so they'll see the Word of God. Put scriptures around. Read scriptures to them. Teach them what the scriptures mean. The moral compass, which is the Word of God, the Bible, should guide our lives. Now, what are the principles that we should live by and teach our children? Now, first, we're going to look at North integrity. Integrity is the quality of possessing and steadfastly adhering to high moral principles or professional standards. Now, if you have high moral principles, then you are living according to the Word of God. That means we cannot condone sin. That further means that we cannot be politically correct. Now, my saying is, you don't have to be politically correct, only biblically correct. Because it doesn't matter what the political system says. It doesn't matter what people in this world say. All that matters is what God says. We only have to be biblically correct. Biblically correct. That's all you have to worry about. Don't worry about being politically correct. You're not ever going to satisfy everybody anyway. But you stand for the principles that are in the Word of God. And so when you're standing for the principles that are coming from the Word of God, then according to the world system, you will not be politically correct. But you will be biblically correct. Can't say that today. So, the Bible teaches a lot about moral standards. The Bible mentions a lot of different sins. And we're just going to look at a few of them today. And keep in mind, as I'm going through these and reading these aren't my words. I didn't write this. I didn't write the Bible. This is God's word. This is what God says. So we need to look at what God says because our children must be taught the truth from the Word of God. They must be taught the truth. So we're going to look at A, the shedding of innocent blood through abortion is murder. They need to be taught that abortion is murder. Abortion may be politically correct, but it is not biblically correct. Proverbs 6:16 through 17 says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. And we're going to stop right there. Hands that shed innocent blood. How much more innocent can you get than a little baby, than an unborn baby, or a baby that's just been born? How much more innocent? There's nothing more innocent than that. And God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Now, another example that we have too is in the Old Testament in Genesis, it talks about how God would, or it may be further than Genesis. Anyway, it talks about the children of Israel. They had grown cold. They had turned away from God. And they started worshiping the idols, the false gods of the people around them, in the nations around them, the heathen nations. They turned away from God. And Molech, the god Molech, was a false idol. And they would sacrifice their babies and their children to the god of Molech. They would make sacrifices to this false god and kill their children. What are we doing in America? What are we doing today? We're sacrificing the babies for convenience or whatever whatever the reason is, we're sacrificing the children to Molech. And God will always judge, He will always bring judgment when you sacrifice the babies. That's why we support the pregnancy centers. That's why we support Metroplex Women's Clinic, because they do everything they can do to save the babies. They do everything they can do to save the moms and the families. And they bring salvation. They offer salvation and they offer life for these babies. They give them an alternative. And that's why we have to support these types of things like Metroplex Women's Clinic. But we have to stand for what the Bible says. Don't worry about what's politically correct. Stand for what's biblically correct, and that is to save the babies. Amen. Not allow them to be murdered and their body parts to be sold and used. It's awful what they're doing today. Planned Parenthood is an evil, evil entity. It is terrible what they're doing. And the founder of Planned Parenthood, their mission and their goal, the founder, Margaret Sanger, she wanted to kill off the inferior races. What she said were the inferior races. She wanted to kill off all the black babies and all the other babies that were not white. That is the founder of Planned Parenthood. And their goal is still to kill off the babies. I don't think they care as much about what race it is. They just want to kill babies because it's profit. They kill off the babies for profit. The bottom line, greed, profit. And they're sacrificing the babies for profit, for money. We can never condone this type of sin. We cannot. We must stand against it. We must take a stand. And that's what we as Christians are to do, right? We're to take a stand for righteousness. We're to take a stand against these evils in our land, because these evils that are in our land are what are going to bring judgment to our land. And God cannot bless a nation whose God is not the Lord. God can only bless a nation whose God is the Lord. And that means we have to obey what He says in His Word. Okay, another one. B, homosexuality is a sin and an abomination to God. Romans 1, 26 and 27, that is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. A big penalty for that is AIDS. But we have to look at what the Word of God says. It doesn't matter if it's politically correct. It only matters if it's biblically correct. And the Word of God says that it's a sin and it's abomination against God, because it goes against the natural order of things. It goes against the natural way that God created man and woman. God created man and woman to be together, to procreate. And you can't do that with homosexuality. It goes against God. Now, let's look at C. A man and woman living together without the protection and blessings of the marriage covenant is dangerous spiritually and emotionally. You need the protection and blessings of the marriage covenant, and that can only come from God. We must have the protection of the marriage covenant as a married couple. It's hard enough to get through marriage, you know, and to get along and everything. But if you don't have the blessings and the covering protection of the marriage covenant, it's going to be way worse. And you're not going to have the blessings of God on your marriage or on your union, or living together is not really a union or a marriage. It takes the marriage covenant between you, the bride, the groom, and God. It takes three to make a marriage. And it's a marriage covenant that you make between yourselves, the bride and groom, make with each other and with God. And it must be under that protection and blessings. And that brings us to D, premarital sex is a sin called fornication. Now, you know, there's adultery that goes on, you know, being unfaithful to your mate. There's fornication, you know, sex outside of marriage. All of these things, there's penalties. There's consequences to these sins. Galatians 5:19 through 21, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty clear. And you notice the first three that are mentioned are sexual immorality, impurity, and lustful pleasures. That has to do with sexual sins. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of sexual immorality. Homosexuality and the sexual promiscuous lifestyles, the perversion that was going on, and God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of that. So sexual sin brings a curse. It brings disease. You think about AIDS. Think about all the venereal diseases. It brings a curse. And then it also brings judgment. God's judgment. So we must teach our kids. But God's forgiveness is always there. We must also teach our kids about God's forgiveness. Anyone involved in any of that, God is there with open arms to forgive and to love them. He wants to love them. He wants to wrap his arms around them and love them. And he says, come to me and I will forgive you and I will wash you white as snow and I will cleanse you and I will set you on a straight path where your feet know where they're going, where you know where you're going and where you're on a sure foundation that cannot be shaken. We must teach our children. Train your child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart. We must teach them. We must teach them what the Word of God says. God's forgiveness is always there. It's always there. And they need to know the love of God. And when we speak truths and when we preach truths, we must speak the truth in love, as the Bible says. We speak the truth in love. We don't hate the sinner. We don't hate these people that are in sin. We don't hate people that are perverted. We don't hate them. We must love them into the kingdom. We can't condemn them because condemnation is hate and it will drive them away. We must love them into the kingdom. We must show them God's love. Jesus loved everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave Jesus. And Jesus willingly laid down his life for us so that we can be forgiven, so that we could be cleansed from all unrighteousness, so that we could be healed and delivered and set free. Because you know what? Sin is bondage. And these sexual sins, they are bondage. It is total bondage. But Jesus came to set the captive free. He came to set us free from these bondages. We don't have to live that way. We don't have to live according to the world system, according to the world, what they approve of. Just because the world approves it does not mean it's right. Most of the time it is wrong, according to the Word of God. So we judge things according to the Word of God, not according to the world, not according to the world system. God's rules and standards are there for our good and protection. Just as we have rules and standards for our children, You know, we have rules in the home. We have standards. We have principles that we expect our children to live by. And we do it for their own protection. Well, God does the same thing for us. All of the things He told us not to do and not to partake of and not to participate in, He said it for our own good and for our own protection, because He knows that it will destroy us. Sin destroys. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. He knows that sin will destroy us, so He wants to deliver us from those bondages, so that we can have a life of freedom in Jesus, so that we can live a life of security in God, so that we can live a life of joy and peace. Oh, there's so much to say for peace. If you don't have peace, life is pretty miserable. And God's joy is that deep, abiding joy, which is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And that only comes through God and obedience to God, obedience to His word, obedience to the standards and principles that He has laid out before us. And He says, choose you this day who you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve. We have to make a choice. And we have to let our children know they have to make a choice. But God said, I would that you would choose life. I want you to choose life because I love you and I don't want to see you destroyed. I don't want to see you in bondage, because John 10:10 says the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. He wants us to have abundant life. He doesn't want to see us in bondage to sin, which will destroy us. And in the meantime, we're miserable. We are miserable. There might be a short little split second amount of pleasure, but then there's going to be misery, 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 and destruction if we don't turn and allow God to set us free. So God does this for our good and our protection. He sets standards and principles and rules in place for our protection, just as we do for our children. Now, number two. The self-forgiveness, the act of pardoning somebody for a mistake or wrongdoing. Forgiving quality, the tendency to forgive offenses readily and easily. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Pastor Corey just covered this one last week. He talked about unforgiveness and forgiveness. So, as God has forgiven us, we should forgive others. We must not hold offenses and grudges toward others, no matter if they have wronged us. We just can't. For our own sake, we can't. The Bible says that if we don't forgive, we will not be forgiven. Plain and simple. Let's look at Matthew 6, 14 and 15. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's pretty clear cut, isn't it? We must forgive others if we want to be forgiven. Now, let's look at number three. East, compassion. Compassion is sympathy for the suffering of others, often including a desire to help. And Jesus is our example. We must teach your children the golden rule. Everybody remembers what the golden rule is, right? Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Okay, so treat others the way you want to be treated. And we must teach our children that. And I remember telling my kids when they were growing up, and my grandkids too, you've got to treat others the way you want to be treated. If you want to be treated good, you're going to have to treat others good. And it's also the principle of sowing and reaping. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap, whether it's good or bad. If you sow bad things, if you sow hatefulness and bully, you know, if you someone that kind of has a tendency to bully people, you know, whatever it is, that's what you're going to reap. But if you sow kindness and love, you're going to reap that. You're going to reap kindness and love. and compassion and all of these things. So teach your children the golden rule. Reach out and help those who can't help themselves. Jesus is our example. He had compassion on the suffering. Matthew 14, 13 through 14. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So Jesus put others before himself, and that's a character quality we need, and we need to teach our children to have. Jesus, he was tired. He was worn out. People were constantly thronging him, wanting something from him, always, anytime he was in public. And he was constantly giving out and giving out and giving out. And, you know, he was a man. He was a mortal man. He lived in mortal flesh like we do. So he got tired. And I'm sure he got peopled out. Sometimes I get peopled out. Because I'm a loner anyway, so it's easy for me to get peopled out. But in case you didn't know that already. Jesus would give of himself. And, you know, when this scripture is talking about he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. I'm sure he needed to be alone. He needed to get away. He needed to rest. And he needed to just spend some time with the Lord, with God, his Father. But the crowds heard he was headed there and they followed on foot from many towns. And so when he saw the huge crowd, he stepped from the boat and he had compassion on them and healed them. He healed their sick. He gave of himself some more. And he continually gave of himself. He had compassion. And that's what drove him to continually giving of himself. So we need to have compassion. And we need to teach our children to have compassion. Now, number four, West, responsibility. The state, fact, or position of being accountable to somebody or for something. We need to be responsible and we need to teach our children to be responsible. Teach your children and your grandchildren, for those of us that are finished teaching, raising kids, but now we can influence children, grandchildren, and teach them to be responsible and that they will be held accountable for their actions. Again, it's the principle of sowing and reaping. And you will be held accountable for your actions. They need to be taught that. Genesis 17:9. Then God said to Abraham, your responsibility is to obey the terms of the covenant. You and all your descendants have this continual responsibility. So as Christians, we have a continual responsibility to teach the children the ways of God. To teach them. Remember what it says in the first verses that we read? That was in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, about teaching your children and tell them again and again and again and again. They have to continually hear it. Now, we are in covenant with God when we accept Jesus as our Savior, and we must not take it lightly, but live by it and teach our children to live by it. It is our responsibility. We should teach our children to be responsible. Whatever they have committed to, be responsible for. And it goes the same for us. We need to be responsible. If we've committed to do something, we need to carry it out. We need to do it. Be a person of your word. That is important. Be a person of your word. Don't say you're going to do something and think, oh, well, you know, and just decide you're not going to do it. Be a person of your word. Our word should mean something. We are responsible for our word, and we teach by example. Okay, so we teach by example. We lead by example. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, it's just the fact of life. We teach and lead our children or grandchildren by example. So if we want to set a good example for our children, then we need to follow these principles ourselves. We need to live according to the Word of God ourselves. We need to be obedient to the Word of God and the principles and the standards of the Word of God and teach them by leading by example. That's the best teacher. Lead by example. In 1831, Alexis de Tocqueville, I'm sure I butchered that name, it's French, was sent by the French government to study the American prison system. However, he and his co-worker used their official business as a pretext to study American society instead. He eventually wrote a book called Democracy in America. As he went into the churches and heard the gospel preached from pulpits ablaze with zeal and fervor for the truth, he knew why America was great. When he went into the churches is when he knew why America was great. He said, "America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great." Well, what are we seeing today? There's a lot going on out there. There's a lot of sin. There's a lot of disobedience to God. There's a lot of disobedience to the principles and standards that He has set before us and told us, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And America can only be blessed when America is living in obedience to God. America can only be blessed when she is living and submitted to the standards and principles that come from the Word of God. And that's where our protection comes from.
That's right.
We are not protected when we are not living according to His Word. Because we remove ourselves from God's protection. When we are not living according to His Word, according to the precepts and standards, principles of His Word, when we're not obedient to His Word, we remove ourselves, whether individually or corporately as a nation, from the protection of God. We need revival, y'all. We need revival. We've got to pray for revival. I've been praying for revival. I want y'all to join me in praying for revival for the church and for the nation. Now, America is made up of families, moms and dads, sons and daughters. America is great as long as the families are governed by the moral compass, the Bible. When that is removed, the family will fall and America will fall. And this has been happening since the 60s when the Bible and prayer was removed from the schools. That is why God said to teach your children and your children's children and so on down through the generations. We must pass these truths and principles of the Word of God down to the generations under us. Amen. It can't stop with us. It must be passed down. They must be taught so that America can be great. Because if America ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. Now, this is my final statement. We must be guided by our moral compass. Teach and apply these important principles to guide your life and your children and grandchildren's lives. North integrity, which is high moral principles and standards. South, forgiveness. East, compassion. West, responsibility. This is the compass that should guide our lives. This is our moral compass. This is the only compass that should guide our lives. I'm talking about the only compass that should guide our lives. Not some opinion of some man or woman. Not the government. Not anything or anyone else. But the Word of God. This is our moral compass. This should be our guide. We must live according to this book. But how can you live according to this book if you don't know what it says? That's why we must teach our children and our children's children and on down through the generations so that we can preserve our Christian heritage. We must preserve our Christian heritage. Amen. God is so good. He's so faithful. He's so merciful. His grace, goodness, mercy, and forgiveness is always extended to us. It doesn't matter how bad someone has been. It doesn't matter what someone has done. It doesn't matter about the past. Because God's forgiveness is always there. His love, His mercy, compassion, goodness is always extended. Always, always extended. But we must receive it. We must receive it to be set free from the bondage. We must receive it to be saved. We must receive it to be cleansed and washed white as snow. And then you will have freedom and joy and peace in your life. You will no longer be miserable. You will no longer be confused. As long as we let that compass guide our lives. The compass which is the Word of God. Now I want everyone to bow your head and close your eyes. Today, I want to give the opportunity, in case there is someone here that needs to receive that forgiveness, that needs to receive that grace and that goodness and that mercy and that compassion that only comes from Jesus, your Lord and Savior. If anyone needs to receive Jesus as your Savior, to be cleansed and washed white as snow, to be forgiven, for the bondages to be broken, the bondages of sin and death to be broken off of your life. Then I want to give you the opportunity. So if anyone wants to receive Jesus today, I want you to raise your hand and I'll pray. I'll pray for you. Anyone. If you need to make that commitment today, this is the most important decision you will ever make. Because our life here on this earth is a split second compared to all of eternity. Where will you spend all of eternity? Will you spend it in heaven? In a glorious place that we don't even have words in the English language to describe the splendors of heaven? Or will you spend it in hell? There is a place that we go after death, and it's either heaven or hell. Where will you spend eternity? This life on earth is but a vapor, the Bible says, compared to eternity. That means it's like a split second here on earth compared to eternity. So what you do on this earth to prepare for eternity is what matters. That is the most important decision you will ever make in your lifetime here on this earth. So if anyone needs to receive Jesus, I want you to raise your hand. Okay. Well, I trust that we're all saved then. And I'm going to say a prayer over us, Father God. We thank you, thank you, thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your love. We thank you that you're always here. You're always here for us. If we fall, if we mess up, if we sin, you are here, ready to pick us back up, to set us back on our feet, and to give us the strength to go forward. So, Lord, I pray that you would give us all strength, that we would be strong in the power of your might, and that we would be strong in our resolve to stand for righteousness, that we will stand for righteousness, truth, and justice, and that righteousness, truth, and justice will reign over this nation once again. And let it begin with us, that we will stand for the principles and values of your word, and we will teach our children and our children's children. We commit to that today, Lord, before you. We commit to teach our children and our children's children, and it go on down through the generations so that they will know. They need to know. So, Lord, I thank you, oh God, that you put that resolve in our hearts, and that we will be courageous and we will be bold, and we will be obedient to you and to your word, and we will allow your word, our moral compass, the Holy Bible, to guide our lives from this day forth in everything we do, every decision we make. We resolve to allow your holy word, our moral compass, to guide our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I will testify to the fact that Rochelle does teach the grandchildren the moral compass. They call it lecturing. But she teaches them. But I encourage you to take this word to heart. This word acted out in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, lived out, will turn this country around. But it's the church that's got to step forward and do it. Moms, happy Mother's Day. Excited for you today. We have a photo wall back here, so don't leave until you've had pictures with your family and friends. We also have a table out in the center out there that has a special treat for you. I think they call them, what do they call them, Rochelle? Macaroons. Okay, there's macaroons for all the moms out there. So grab that. If this is your first time to be a guest with us, please stop by the Connection Center and pick up one of our gift bags. And if you would, please fill out the connection card, as much of it as you're comfortable with, and leave it with us. We promise you we will not make a bunch of phone calls, send a bunch of emails. Well, moms, go have a blessed day, and everyone is dismissed.